all that weather, quite a switcheroo from yesterday and the day before, isn't it? My goodness, from almost July weather, right back to the real stuff here. I guess this is par for the course for late September. We've almost run out of September. I guess overall, not too bad. Good afternoon, everybody. Stan Turner with you here, 12:06. You heard the temperature, 66 degrees. We'll give you another run at the weather here a little bit as we go along. George Rumpel, you appear to be here. How are you doing there in your isolated studio?
I am doing reasonably well here in my isolated studio.
Yeah. We lock you in during the show, George, so you can't get out.
That's true.
Okay. George, you should have been with me Thursday night at the Heights Theater. This beautiful little jewel box of a moving picture house in Columbia Heights on Central Avenue, just across the border from Northeast Minneapolis. Great feature showing there, one time only, Thursday night. Here's the poster, George. And what do you see?
I see Bela Lugosi.
Bela Lugosi, what's the name of the movie?
Dracula.
Dracula. This is a... we saw a print, not a digitized version of this 1931 Universal film. So this was 35 millimeter up there on the screen, a really pristine print, and absolutely wonderful. Scared everybody silly.
Good.
We had all age groups there that night. It was pretty much a full house. So you had teenagers, you know, the folks in the middle and the oldsters, and everybody was riveted. I think some people left the auditorium at places during the show, and not just to go get more popcorn
because
or whatever.
Because it was scary.
It's scary.
Yeah.
This guy Lugosi, Bela Lugosi, there is nobody who can portray that role of Dracula better than Bela Lugosi, right? You've seen the film, at least
I've seen the film, yes.
Yeah, yeah. He actually did come from, he came from a border area of Hungary and Romania, so he grew up not far from Transylvania. Mm-hmm. So, you know, this is where Count Dracula had his castle, you know that. Mm-hmm. And, I think most people know the storyline, but it's creepy all the way. And a lot of bats, George, flying around.
Of course.
Children of the night, what music they make. And I love his one line best of all. When he's asked, do you drink, Count Dracula? I don't drink wine.
Yeah.
We know what you drink, Dracula. Anyway, thanks to Bob DeFloris and Tom Letness. Tom owns the movie theater, The Heights, up there. Just a great guy. And they're going to have a series of these scary monster movies through October. So check out The Heights website. It's a lot of fun.
You can afterwards.
Well, you can.
Right next to
the theater. My buddy Tom Osmond, I'll introduce him formally in just a minute, but Tom is here. And Tom Letness actually bought the Dairy Queen, which adjoins the movie theater, because he is a Dairy Queen guy. He owns some up northern Minnesota. Mm-hmm. He saw this one down here. It was going to be raised. All the properties there had been condemned. So he said, I think I can rejuvenate this place as well as that 1926 movie house. And has he? You've been in there, haven't you?
Many times.
Yeah,
many times.
It's great. George, you're in for a treat. You've got to go up there.
Okay, I've got to get there.
This has been a beautiful unpaid commercial for the Heights, hasn't it?
Yeah.
But anyway,
well, they're doing things that no one else is doing, which is very important.
It is unique in that in the technical sense of the word unique. There is nothing else like it. So it's just a blast. So I had to share that with you. Yeah. George,
don't they also have a pipe organ for the silent?
They do.
They not just for the silent. They do use it for the silent. But every movie feature they show there is preceded by an organ prelude, you know, kind of a warm-up on the Wurlitzer, and it's on a hydraulic lift, and it comes up from the floor, goes up while the man is playing, then it goes back down when he's done.
Okay.
It's like the old movie theaters, the big theaters like Radio City in downtown Minneapolis. That organ, played by Eddie Dunstetter, I know that because my mother used to go there back in the, 40s or 50s, it would come up out of the floor in the orchestra pit while he was playing, and sometimes that was the best part of the show.
A great theater, so if you've not gone, check it out online.
Check it out online, the Heights, and there'll be, as I said, Boris Karloff and some more Lugosi. They co-starred in some horror films. They did, Lugosi and Boris Karloff. But even if Lugosi got the lead role, guess who got star billing?
Boris Karloff, of course.
Yeah, so there's a little bit of tension between the two guys. Two monsters at each other's throat. By the way, George, Dracula, I think he had a telephone number, didn't he? What would that be?
Of course, it would be Transylvania 65000.
Well, thank you.
Thank you.
I had to let you do that
thank
one.
Thank you.
Okay, great. Okay. Well, we had a... Tom Osmond's been good enough to sit in with me today, and I'll give him a better introduction in just a minute, but both Tom and I, ironically, had scheduled guests who had to... because of a health or family emergency.
Series of events.
Yeah, really. This is bizarre. Our shows follow, Tom follows my show. So he's here anyway, so thank you very much, Tom. My scheduled guest was David Schultz, Professor David Schultz from Hamline University. George, you know him. We've had him on the show before.
Yes.
This guy is super smart when it comes to government, local, state, federal, political science, constitutional law. It's not a calculus lecture when he opens his mouth. This guy really does tell it like it is. We have this government gridlock right now, the scenario, whatever it is, playing out in Washington over the Affordable Care Act or so-called Obamacare and so many other things, raising the debt ceiling. And we're all perplexed. And there are some state issues going on here, too, that need a good kick in the collective fanny. And Professor Schultz is good at doing that. He's nonpartisan. He's right down the middle, as best a person can be. So we need to hear from him. He can sort out all the baloney and blow away a lot of the fog and tell us exactly what's going on. So it's my hope that David will be back in the saddle at Hamline here when he's done with his family business, and we'll get him in here in October sometime. So that's the deal. So there we are, 12:12. The time is moving on, and I think this is a good day for some time traveling. By that, we mean reaching back into the audio archives of Twin Cities Broadcasting and pull out some oldies but goodies from years past. There's no one who can mine that local audio and video or radio TV gold better than Tom Osmond. He is host of KLBB's Twin Cities Flashback, heard every Saturday following this show. This Saturday, we don't have to wait until 1 o'clock. Tom is with me, as you know, right here and now to share sounds of the past. He will be doing a show at 1 o'clock, however. Always fun to relive those moments as we listen to the actual voices and sounds that made those moments for us. I call Tom kind of a, well, Tom, you don't resent this, do you? An audio-video archaeologist.
That's I don't resent that. No.
You shouldn't either, Tom. It's a compliment. A guy who unearths some seemingly impossible-to-find material. I don't know how he does it. Sometimes Tom finds these little treasures boxed away in somebody's basement or attic or garage, or sometimes he rescues them at the last moment from the dumpster. Apparently just so much trash somebody's throwing.
That's happened before. The dumpsters, I went to a state sale last weekend and found a box that said free, which that's
my favorite.
That's my budget. Yep, so I looked in there and tapes that were 30-plus years old. It was, for me, that was priceless.
Are those audio or video?
Video.
Okay, video. What do they show?
There were some movies that people had taped, and, of course, again, no one knew.
Stuff you can show to kids?
I think so. Broadcast TV, again, no one knew how to hit that off button, so rolls into some news, and I find, this happened in September, and what month is this now? It's September, so we found some good video for that.
Tom, you have a very popular website where a lot of these great finds of yours, audio and video, is in on demand for people who jump on. What's your website?
It is tcmedianow.com.
Very nicely said. Say that again, Tom.
tcmedianow.com.
And what will we find when we go there?
What won't you find? You might find Stan Turner anchoring the news.
No,
you might find...
Oh, talk about air pollution. Wow.
40 years of TV broadcasting, and really it's from the video age, before digital video and after film. So really the vintage video age from the 70s and 80s.
Wow.
Lots of things happened here in Minnesota in that era, and a lot of it we can relive, and a lot of it we can... Government gridlock, I'm interested you brought that up. Yeah. I'm watching a lot of tapes from the Minnesota House sessions, and... Was there ever a time we didn't have government gridlock? I'm beginning to wonder.
I covered the legislature during the 70s and 80s, and yes, there was gridlock, but it was short-lived compared to now. It was less a contest of who could score the most political points than it was kind of a showdown, a bargaining, I think in good faith. I watched it. These people, the Democrats and Republicans, could seriously disagree on the issues, but Tom, usually after the legislative session, the floor session or the committee sessions, they'd go down the street to a saloon or a nice restaurant, and they'd cut a deal there. And that was okay with me. I knew they were meeting, and they knew we knew, or the press knew. But actually, we had pretty good government because of the C word, compromise. They would sit down. Yeah, run to your dictionary or online dictionary. I know there's no such thing as a written, printed dictionary anymore. But really, they did do that in all seriousness, and that's how it got done. So yes, Tom, there were differences. There was occasional what we call gridlock, where people just couldn't seem to agree, but actually after a spirited floor debate or a committee session where they were locking horns a little bit, they would go off and do the civil thing, and that was find the middle ground, find a solution. And really, they had all of us our interests at heart.
And what I want to ask Professor Schultz when I see him next time is, why is it different now? What has changed now? Is it because we have more? Is it the technology that we're communicating with? Are we set on our next campaign? Are we setting on campaign buzzwords? What is it that we can't make this compromise? Because Governor Kui, who turned 90 last week...
Governor Kui is a statesman in every sense of the word.
His own political career... was put on ice to compromise to keep the state going, and
he was governor compromise, and before that he was in the Congress for many years, a Republican who was adored, revered by the Democrats. I'll never forget, I had the honor of helping co-MC his 80th birthday party, mm-hmm. so what, 10 years ago, and I remember somebody gave me a copy of the front page of the Minneapolis Tribune. It was before the Star Tribune, and the banner headline, this was following the day that Kui announced he was leaving Congress to come back home after 20 years. Mm. It said, DFL, the Democrats lose key ally in the U.S. House. When's the last time you saw something like that? And as I looked down that night in this salute to Governor Kui on his 80th birthday, this fine guy, this Republican, the whole front rows were populated by Democrats. Mondale was there. Warren Spanos was there. Wendy Anderson was there. Don Moe was there. Roger Moe. Right down the line. The whole constellation of Democratic talent was there to salute this fine man. So what's missing today, Tom? That's what's missing. Collegiality. There are knots of politicians, I think, on both sides of the aisle, who just simply are not interested in finding a middle ground. It's my way or no way.
Well, I think also the whole primary process has changed a lot. And at least as far as not the actual structure of it, but the activist voters, I think, are creating candidates which fit a narrow perception of what they want a candidate to be at the purity test. And it's tough to win a state election or a national election if you're going to be a purist.
When you're signing a pledge saying that you will not do this or that, you are painting yourself into a corner, and I think we're all the losers for that. I'm pointing fingers not at any particular party, but just at a mindset. And I hope, and it's not my place here to be lobbying. I'm not a one-man good government committee, but I'm eager to get Schultz on the show again. Mm-hmm. Also to bring back Tom Berg, who was a DFL state lawmaker back in the 70s, who has written a book on how it used to work and work well. And also I'm going to have Tom bring in a Republican, one of his colleagues from across the aisle from that same time, and we can talk about what it is we've lost and why we've lost it and how we might get it back.
Right.
That's the key question. So we need to do this. We don't want to conduct seminars on political science here. We want to talk about how all of us as citizens and voters can get back to a government that really serves our interests. So I'm going to climb down from my soapbox now, George. Take it away from me.
All right, I'll do that.
Tom, we're here to talk about audio and video, some fun stuff from Twin Cities Broadcasting a few years ago.
Well, we brought about some politicians. Let's talk a little bit about, Rod Graham, someone we both mutually know.
Oh, yes.
Rod is in hospice right now,
unfortunately. Sad story. A wonderful, wonderful gentleman.
A good gentleman. I met him as a college student at St. Thomas and knew him as a U.S. senator. This clip is from 1984, and this was a evening movie that I found on a tape, and the tape rolled over into the news.
Can we say that Rod Graham's, of course, we first knew him as an anchorman here
and
on
Channel 9.
Channel 9, KMSP-TV, and a fine one at that.
In fact, Channel 9 went through a series of a few different anchors after they switched affiliations, and they found Rod Graham's, and Rod Graham's was there for about 10 years.
Yeah. Good one.
Tonight at 10:30. Join us for a full hour of local, national, and world news on Primetime News next on Channel 9.
Well, KMSP there we go. That was a nice musical prelude. I think something good's coming.
From Independent News in New York, and the Channel 9 news team in the Twin Cities, this is Primetime News.
Good evening, I'm Rod Grams in the Twin Cities. From the Channel 9 newsroom tonight, a meeting in St. Paul regarding charges of police brutality. We'll have a live report. And the gas is still on at the Cedar Square West Apartments. The stories and more following the Independent News.
Give that setup. You're watching that movie, and then you have a long credit
that
ending
was,
there.
That was a long orchestral prelude. Yeah. Well, anyway, we got
it
to
eases
the
you into
there.
The hard news of the day.
It does. The gas is still on at that
That's
complex.
Correct.
I'm wondering why it's why wouldn't it be on? That's what I'm wondering. Anyway, good to hear the voice of Rod Grams away. He went on to a political life. I think he served both in the House
and the
U.S. Senate.
One term in the House and one term in the Senate.
Right. Whether or not you agree with his politics, a gentleman all the way, a compromiser, I'd say, and a really good man. Go ahead.
And you told me a story recently that you saw him.
Right.
He provided a...
I did. I think it was Memorial Day down on the Capitol lawn down near the foot of the mall. And as usual, it might have been 4th of July. It was a special patriotic occasion, and politicians always gravitate to those things, and they have speeches to give. That's fine. Mm-hmm. We've all heard them before, mm-hmm. but it's still good to hear those sentiments. Well, Rod Graham got up to take his turn, then a senator. And, you know, you're ready for the usual stuff, and that's fine, but he went far beyond mm-hmm. that. It is the most finely crafted and delivered speech about America, its traditions, its legacy, what it's all about, I've ever heard. And I was compelled to go up and, you know, we know each other mm-hmm. well, and I went up to him and said, Senator, that is the best speech of its kind I've heard at any level of government anywhere in this country ever. It was a sterling job from the heart. I think he wrote it, and it was just splendid. I wish I had a recording of it. We could... you know, dig it out every 4th of July.
Very shy man, and I remember watching him campaign, and he was not a person that could jump into a crowd at a sports bar and just feel at home. He liked one-on-one interaction, and I think it comes from the TV world. You're looking at a camera. You're not looking mm-hmm. at a studio audience.
Right.
And I think that when Rod was at his best is when he was actually being himself and actually speaking,
yes.
and he didn't do near enough of that as a senator.
Yes, right. I think you detected him being a little ill at ease in front of big groups when mm-hmm. they were facing him.
Mm-hmm.
And there's an irony there because a lot of people, Tom, you know this from all your research, is that a lot of people who are in front of the camera, mm-hmm. in front of the microphone, are innately shy people. Mm-hmm. I know mm-hmm. people laugh when I say that. I have been, too.
Mm-hmm.
And there's something about, you know, once you get on the air and start talking about a subject you're interested in, then you suddenly shed that for a little while. But you are basically a shy person. Many people are.
There's a great American Masters program on Johnny Carson. Have you seen it? It's on PBS. It was on last year. It's
yes.
Wonderful.
Yes, you're right.
And, you know, interviewed many people that knew Johnny Carson. And Johnny Carson, you think Johnny Carson is a party guy. You think he's up there and he's smoking. There's people around
right.
him laughing.
Yep.
And Johnny Carson was the most ill-at-ease person
right.
outside of that studio
right.
that you'd know.
It's one of the ironies, one of the strange facets of this business. That's true. Tom Osmond with us right here. We're going to be playing some more sounds of the past from local radio and television newscasts and documentaries and programs. And it's always fun to go back in time and listen to this stuff. It is 12:24, 66 degrees in the Twin Cities. We'll take a break. Back with Tom right after this. I'm Stan Turner with exciting news for book lovers. Downtown Stillwater has just completed its new pedestrian walkway next to Valley Bookseller. Park right next to the store, then enjoy your new books out on the deck or on Stillwater's new patio overlooking the St. Croix. Valley Bookseller is indeed the Twin Cities' most beautiful bookstore. Great books, great people, great view. 217 North Main in Stillwater. Online at valleybookseller.com.
The 1920s were a golden age for baseball and custom-tailored clothing. That golden age is back at Jaime's Haberdashery in St. Paul. Jaime's Haberdashery helps men look and feel their best with high-quality clothing cut and styled just for them. Make each visit uniquely yours with hats, suits, casual wear, and accessories. Visit their barber shop for a hot lather shave. It's the golden age again at Jaime's Haberdashery, 400 St. Peter Street in downtown St. Paul. Online at jaimes.com.
Did you know we had fingerprints before we were even born?
We did?
Yep, when we were only 9 weeks old.
My mom says our hearts were beating too.
Well, my mom says I could suck my thumb and smile before I was even born.
You still do. You don't have to tell.
Hello, my name is Marianne Koharski, and I'm the director of Pro-Life Across America, the billboard people. If you know someone who is pregnant or in need of information and alternatives, including adoption, or would like to support the work of Pro-Life Across America, please call 1-800-366-7773 or visit our website at prolifeacrossamerica.org. Pro-Life Across America, non-political and totally educational.
A baby's heart is beating 18 days from conception.
Well, welcome back. Stan Turner with you here, 1226 on this gray, wet Saturday. Yeah, we need the moisture, but the sun will come back tomorrow. We'll get back up into the 70s right now. 66 degrees in the Twins right now. We're talking, having fun with Tom Osmond, of course, host of the Saturday program, 1 p.m. every Saturday right after this one, called Twin Cities Flashback.
Flashback Twin Cities.
I have sometimes invert and reverse, and that's okay, Tom. Basically, all the correct words were there, just in the wrong sequence, right? And I'm going to blame you for that because it's my fault, okay?
Well, it's your show. I should be blamed for it.
But I'm going to be with you next hour, so I better get it right, okay?
Turner Stan
Flashback
Show.
Flashback Twin Cities, George. That's silly. We all know that, okay?
Well, of course.
Sure. Thank you. George weighed in there with it, of course. Did you hear that? Of course. All right.
See, your allegiances are right now. That's right.
The Vikings, the Minnesota Vikings.
Yeah.
Remember them? They were a pro football team here. They used to win some games.
Used to be a pro football team, right?
Yeah. Yeah, they used to win some football games out there on Sundays and sometimes Monday nights and that sort of thing. Where are they right now? They're not even in this country anymore.
I think they're
in
London getting ready to prepare for a big match. I think that the English think it's the Super Bowl. They think the Super Bowl is coming to London.
They'll look at this thing down there in the field and say, what the bloody heck is that?
Right. Why is this team in purple being... Oh, it's...
Yeah, right. Well, anyway, they're over there. But way back when, after a Sunday hard-fought contest and often ending in a Vikings victory, Bud Grant, then coach, head coach, would come to KSTP Studios on Monday to, during the day, tape the Vikings report, kind of a look back at the game the previous day, and it would air that night, I think it was.
Put a suit on and then talk.
Well, no, it wasn't a suit. I was there. I saw him. Never put a suit on. But his players, he'd bring a player guest in, an Alan Page, somebody like these. I don't know where they found suits to fit these guys, huh? I mean, they must have been size 56.
Right.
Triple X, you know. But he'd bring a guest along, the biggest guys you've ever seen. And he'd, you know, regurgitate the game with some films and that sort of thing. So it was kind of fun.
We got some audio. Want to hit some audio?
All right, yeah. Is this Bud? Gifts in there. No. I wonder who did the show then?
Our friend Tom Ryder was hosting.
This can't be this hard to put this on the air.
Is it hard? You know,
we'll just blow that one down.
Yeah.
Okay, what would we have heard, Tom? If we heard
you would have heard Chuck Foreman and Bud Grant talk with Tom Ryder about the big game yesterday. But I do have another piece of audio of our of Coach Grant.
Sure. How about track four? We'll try that one.
This is when Bud Grant, remember, he retired and then he came back.
Oh, yeah.
Like 9 months later. Yeah. So he was just kind of hanging out. He was hanging out at the high school basketball tournament. I think his son played for Bloomington.
Yes, that's right.
And Jeff Passelt was reporting for Channel 11, now an anchor at Channel 9.
Uh-huh.
He caught up with Bud Grant, and this is what
Jeff Passelt, you've corralled a special guest.
I certainly have, Ray Scott, a fellow who by no means is a strange face to anybody in Minnesota or any NFL fan for that matter. Bud Grant, the coach of the Minnesota Vikings. Bud, not only are you a football legend, I guess, here in the state of Minnesota, but quite a basketball career, too. Maybe you can recount some of your basketball experiences for us, where you played, that sort of thing.
Well, like everybody else, you know, you play in high school. I was in the Navy for a year, played at Great Lakes. I was at the university. Played there for 3 years, played a couple years with the Lakers, and then, you know, recreationally until I was about 40, so got a lot of basketball in the background.
Your son, Dan, a member of this Bloomington Jefferson team, they had a rather easy time in this game. I know you've watched them a lot this year. Was that the best game that you've seen them play?
Well, it probably was. I don't think Bemidji matched up with them size-wise, although I thought Bemidji did a great job. They can really shoot. You can see how they got here. Sean Day, as their big man, has come on all year, probably had his best game tonight. But overall, Jefferson has gotten better because they are all football players playing basketball. There's probably only one pure...
Well, there you have Harry Grant. We knew him as Bud Grant. He played football in Canada, too, with the Winnipeg Blue Bombers.
The CFL, right?
Yeah, CFL, yeah. and some pro teams around here. But Bud was a very big presence here. He's still around. He pops up every once in a while.
He,
the legislature
went
on,
to his
on
first
fishing state, rights and things like that.
His first state fair this year. He said he'd never been to the state fair this year. He went to his first state fair.
Really?
Yeah, I think he was actually plugging some window company this year, and the big draw was to go talk to Bud Grant and then about your new storm windows.
Just for a second there, we heard the voice of Ray Scott, one of the best air personalities ever. Sports, news, whatever, you name it, he was the best.
And his brother Hal Scott was the sports anchor at Channel 4 for a long time.
Ray Scott was the voice and the face of CBS NFL Sunday football games. Mm-hmm. And this man had a talent for not stating the obvious. He understood that we as viewers were watching the game, so you didn't need to be told what you just saw. He would point out things maybe you didn't catch, you know, or the player who got the tackle, or, you know, the infraction, the penalty, whatever it was.
Unlike
but
John
he never insulted your intelligence by stating obvious, stupid things.
Like John Madden, who tells us exactly what we're seeing.
We
That's right.
Ray, just to pay homage to Ray Scott, he was one of the finest. He was a member of the original Minnesota Twins play-by-play group, right?
Back. That is correct.
Maybe not, but close to it.
Well,
Halsey Hall, Herb Carneal, and Ray Scott. Those three are the mighty triumvirate when it comes to play-by-play, especially baseball. They were the best.
Herb Carneal, until just a few years ago, he was still the voice of road games.
They were all gentlemen. They were all gentlemen. Really were. No ego problems, just down-to-earth guys. You could sit down and have a cup of coffee, maybe even a beer with them. You know? With Halsey, something stronger.
A hams.
Something stronger.
Oh, that's okay.
Anyway, carry on, Tom Osmond.
Well, you know, today is this is not a sports show, but the few sports events are going on today.
For example,
big Minnesota-Iowa game, and this is always a big tradition here with the Gophers play Iowa State, and then the Floyd Roseville gets...
The pig.
Passed from the winner to the loser.
That's the trophy.
From 1982, this is the after effect of a Minnesota-Iowa game.
Okay.
Fleur, meteorologist Dave Dahl, and Larry Burnett with sports. This is Eyewitness News.
Good evening. Plenty of action at the Dome tonight. 20,000 or more screaming Iowans with plenty to scream about. The rest of the packed house urging the Gophers on. Rob Lear, follow the whole game. What can I say? What can you say? They did their best.
Well, there's a lot of people in very good mood tonight down in Iowa City, and also the great many that are here at the Metrodome at the Battle of the Backyard Rivals, won by the Iowa Hawkeyes tonight. Very hard-fought physical football game. Final score 21-16. Injuries, interceptions, and Iowa ball control which proved to be the difference. Touchdown fourth quarter effort here by Eddie Phillips. Put it out of hand. The Hawks led it 7-6 at the half, 14-9 end of three quarters. Gophers could only manage but three field goals by Jim Gowrie and later fourth quarter touchdown, Marcia. We'll take an in-depth look later on in sports.
Thank you very much, Rob.
All right, what year was that, Tom?
1982, the first year the Dome was open.
Some things never change, though, with the result of the scoreboard.
They worked hard, the score didn't reflect.
Rob called it a physical game, and I would guess that most football games are physical.
Slightly,
They don't sit there and yell at each other. They get in there and hit each other, but Rob's a good guy, too. That Lear's
a
good man.
Had him on Flashback Twin Cities a few months ago.
He's,
we had a good time.
A good one. So kind of fun to hear. Marcia Fleur, she was supposed to be your guest.
Well, that is the unfortunate part of today's Flash at Twin Cities. Marcia actually called me and she says, "Can you hear me?" And I said, "Yes." Mm-hmm. And she said, "Well, I have laryngitis and I can't do the show." I said, "I'm sorry, but we will be having Marcia on October."
And don't forget, Tom, the name of your show is Flashback Twin Cities. Yeah. Don't get that reversed again. Okay?
Got to do free commercials. That's right.
I've got George watching you carefully here to make sure you get the name of your show.
He's got
right.
The eye on this.
Okay, let's carry on. What else do we have?
Well, you know, we've talked a little bit about gridlock, and there was, unfortunately, sometimes in history, the only thing that brings us together is tragedy.
Yes.
And I wanted to play this clip. It's a few weeks after the anniversary of 9/11, but this was all news channel. Mm-hmm. You recall that station?
I do, actually. Not a station, but a network.
Thank you.
It was a network. And by the way, the name of your show. Oh, you know the name of your show.
That's right.
All news channel was on the air for several years. It was kind of a smaller version of CNN. But we had a nationwide network of station contributors that would send news reports from their neck of the woods that would be of interest to the nation. And we were a national organization then. So we were, like I say, a smaller version of CNN.
And you were working on 9/11, correct?
I did, indeed. I did. I worked on that horrible day, yes.
I mean, had you ever worked a day in the newsroom as horrific as that, right?
Well, there never was a day like that. I suppose Pearl Harbor would have been the previous, right, the antecedent to that, really, in that term of a shocked, truly shocked nation.
Mm-hmm.
You remember the planes, airplanes disappeared from the skies.
Mm-hmm.
If you were out by Twin Cities International, that was eerie unto itself. So we reported all these things, but again, we were doing nationwide reporting, mm-hmm. and the whole nation was falling to its knees, it seems, yeah. So I do remember All News Channel, yes. Are we going to hear something here,
Tom? I think we are.
Oh, okay, good. I sure hope so. That'd be good.
Now, news straight from America's hometowns. This is All News Channel.
Thousands of lives were suddenly ended by evil, despicable acts of terror.
President Bush speaking about the loss of life from Tuesday's terrorist attacks, a number he says will run into the thousands. Hello, everyone. I'm Stan Turner. Thank you for joining us. U.S. leaders are trying to calm fears and restore public confidence after Tuesday's deadly, unprecedented terrorist attacks in both New York and the Pentagon. The president and his key cabinet members spoke to the nation on Tuesday night, and Chris Kimura has more.
Today, our nation saw evil, the very worst of human nature.
Less than 12 hours after the catastrophic crashes into the Twin Towers in New York and the Pentagon.
And so it went. Most of you will remember at least snippets of that day. I remember Peter Jennings, just shortly after the planes had crashed into the Pentagon, into the Twin Towers, then into that field in, mm-hmm. Pennsylvania. We had not yet heard from the president, and Jennings lost his cool. Here he is on network ABC television saying, "Where is the president? We need to hear from the president." He just kind of lost his, mm-hmm. cool. Of course, the president was aboard Air Force One, and he was waiting for his handlers to find a place where he could safely put down and then address the nation. But everybody was, of course, totally, unwound that day.
Prior to that, what would you think was the most horrific news day that you lived through? I mean, was it possibly like the Kennedy assassination? I'm just trying to find out what is the most conscious.
Well, there were so many assassinations. The JFK assassination was certainly the first one of those kind I can remember. And yes, I think the nation, the best way to describe it was a stunned silence, almost disbelief, when you saw the flags going down to half staff, mm-hmm. all over, even on private residences. You knew this was a nation that was in shock.
See, as a Generation Xer, there was never an event. We didn't go through a Vietnam. We didn't go through the assassinations, the turbulence of the 60s.
Mm-hmm.
So we had not had the Gulf War. Okay, that was a challenge, but mm-hmm. we had not gone through a world conflict or a nation conflict this severe.
Yeah.
In our lifetime.
These rose or descended to trauma, national trauma. They really did. And when 9/11 came along, then you got the full force, mm-hmm. of that. That was a kick in the gut. And you just had to wonder, where is this? That day, what is our future? What happens next? Is this it? Is this the end? What's happening?
It's always amazing to think of like what our news cycle was prior to that and what it's been afterward, yes. and just the mentality of the country. Mm-hmm. Do you recall the news stories that were big events before 9/11? I remember them.
Yeah.
Shark attacks?
Mm-hmm.
Wow, that was actually the big thing going on. And also arsenic and water.
Mm-hmm.
Those were the
mm-hmm.
two big news stories on September 10th.
Right. Very interesting. I think they got lost in the shuffle there real quickly. And yes, go ahead.
Oh, I'm sorry. And Gary Condit. That was the three big stories that were going on before 9/11.
That's
and that wiped it all out.
Yes, it did. And we were transfixed as we should have been, wondering, mm-hmm. where are we going? What is the extent? What's the magnitude of this attack? Who's behind it? Are there more? Are they going to come after us? All of these questions we could not have answered for a very, very long time.
Have we even fully answered all these questions?
No,
I don't think we have.
We have not. Of course not. But again, television, radio, they carried the story as it happened. And there were lots of miscues and misinformation because in some cases we're trying to do it too fast with too little information. That's always a bad combination. There is, you mentioned it, this 24-hour, 7-day-a-week news cycle.
Mm-hmm.
It's a double-edged sword. Eric Severide of CBS News, one of Ed Murrow's correspondents during World War II, he continued his journalistic career with CBS after the news well into the 50s and 60s. He said, you know what I think we ought to do? We ought to go to news every other day. Give ourselves a chance to digest,
mm-hmm.
and think about the news before we report it right away. There is this headlong rush to be first, mm-hmm. if you're in a news organization, be it print or broadcast. And maybe he was being half facetious, but that means he was being half serious, too.
Well, Well, and there is a dirty little secret that the news is a business. And
it is.
It is not a public, it is a service, but it's also a business. And you, the CBS, NBC, ABC, Fox, they're there to keep viewers in. The product, I think there's great reporters out there. I think there's great journalists out there.
They definitely are.
The overreaching factor is they want to make a profit at the end of the day.
And, of course, the owners will tell you it takes a lot of money to make the wheel go around every day, and it does. Just equipment by itself, trying to keep up with state-of-the-art and all the rest, it's a huge overhead, huge expense. It's the profit motive. It's what we are, and you can't seemingly divorce journalism from the business side. You try to put a firewall between the newsroom and the sales department. You try to do that. And then, having been in the business as long as I have, I know what ratings are all about, and you live and kind of professionally die by them, because that's the measure of how many people are watching you or listening to you, and upon those numbers are based the advertising rates, and upon that your career can rest.
Well, and do you ever wonder, you watch the news as much as I do, or are tuned to it, do you ever wish, maybe I could just read this and just take it for what it is, instead of always being skeptical, always trying to dig into a story? I sometimes find myself, what's it like to actually just watch a program and watch a news story, a documentary, and not always wonder what's the angle here?
Yeah.
Am I getting the full picture here? Am I really getting all the facts?
Let me do a little disclaimer here first. There were times when I was doing the news on Channel 5 and our station and others, we didn't cover ourselves with glory some nights. There were some trivial things here and there. But on balance, we had reporters where they should be, at the legislature, at the city hall, all the rest. We tried to do our best. And I think overall, this market, all
we
the TV,
job
pretty good job. I don't look at it much anymore. What I do see, it's a very mixed bag. I see sometimes some good stuff, but I look at some reports and I ask myself out loud, what was that? What was the point of that? Somebody planting trees and bushes in South Minneapolis, but okay, why? What is the denouement here? What is the reason for this story? And I can't get it. Quick cuts, real fast editing, video editing, a rapid-fire script, and when the story's done and the reporter throws it back to the anchor desk, I can't figure out what I just saw. Well, I'm seeing more and more of that.
And think of this. Hubbard Broadcasting is still locally owned. Channel 4 and Channel 9 are owned by national entertainment companies, CBS and Fox. Channel 11 is still owned by Gannett, which really is a news company. They're branding a news, it kind of changed the face of TV news, but that's kind of the difference we're looking at. Remember, New York is making a lot of decisions for local programming, not only in Minneapolis, but also every other market in the country. And I always find it take a little skepticism in what you're viewing.
Yep, that's right. I think skepticism, we're going to take a break here, but you know what? I always have told, I used to teach journalism and then trying to run newsrooms. You tell them, look, it's okay to be skeptical. That is, you don't take things at face value. When you're told something by a politician or a cop or something, okay, but check it out. Double-check it. That's healthy skepticism. Don't slide into or fall into cynicism where you just absolutely say, no, you're wrong, that can't be true. That's bad. So I think skepticism, Tom, is a good thing, especially for a journalist, if you don't carry it to extremes. just check your stuff. Get a second or third source on something, okay? Then you can say, yep, I'll go with it.
Beyond Wikipedia.
Yeah, that's right. Ernest Hemingway had a title for this, but I can't use it on the air. Okay, and I won't. Okay, we're going to be back with Tom Osmond. And, Flashback Twin Cities, that's his show. It'll be on here at 1 o'clock this afternoon. I got that right again. I'm amazing, aren't I? George, we'll take a break here. Coming right back. To really experience a book, meet the author. I'm Stan Turner for Valley Bookseller in downtown Stillwater. Every month, Valley Bookseller's calendar is loaded with events featuring both local and national authors. Visit valleybookseller.com and click the events calendar for a complete list. Choose from monthly events like the Totally Criminal Cocktail Hour or special presentations with authors on tour. Meet your favorite author at Valley Bookseller. Great books, great people. 217 North Main in Stillwater.
The 1920s were a golden age for baseball and custom-tailored clothing. That golden age is back at Jaime's Haberdashery in St. Paul. Jaime's Haberdashery helps men look and feel their best with high-quality clothing cut and styled just for them. Make each visit uniquely yours with hats, suits, casual wear, and accessories. Visit their barber shop for a hot lather shave. It's the golden age again at Jaime's Haberdashery, 400 St. Peter Street in downtown St. Paul. Online at Jaime's.com.
Having a baby. She is?
Yep, and I could hear the heartbeat at the doctor's office.
You mean it's beating already?
Yep, and it's going to be a boy or a girl for sure.
That's right. A baby's heart beats as early as 18 to 24 days from conception. Brain waves can be detected by 42 days. My name is Marianne Koharski, and I'm the director of Pro-Life Across America, the Billboard People. Our life-saving messages appear on thousands of billboards offering information and alternatives to abortion. If you know someone who is pregnant or in need of information or alternatives, or would like to support the work of Pro-Life Across America, call 1-800-366-7773 or visit our website at prolifeacrossamerica.org. Pro-Life Across America, educational and non-political.
A baby is a baby is a baby.
Welcome back. Stan Turner with you here. Tom Osmond with me today. We're reliving some special moments in Twin Cities broadcasting. Always fun to do that, reaching back, comparing them to now. Some things have radically changed, and some things are still the same, aren't they?
More than we want to admit sometimes.
Including
the
weather in the Twin Cities. Let me just quickly run through the weather forecast for today. I know everybody needs to know what's coming today. Well, you already know it. We've had showers. Tom, when you came in here a bit ago, it was raining, was it not?
Yes,
it was.
Moisture out there,
comes,
yeah.
Right, comes kind of from the top to the down, doesn't
That's correct.
Yeah, it comes right from the sky. So showers mainly before 2 this afternoon. Temperatures falling to around 59 degrees. Just about now, they should be settling down that way, although I'm still showing 66 degrees. Chance of rain today, 100%, so that means we are going to be seeing wetness right on through the day. Precipitation amounts between a tenth and a quarter of an inch possible. Tonight, well, the skies will clear. Temperatures drop to 49 overnight. Tomorrow, we get back to the good stuff. Sunny with a high tomorrow near 74. Come Monday, sunny skies, a high near 79. Going to be breezy conditions. The wind's kicking up with gusts up to 30 miles per hour on Monday. On Tuesday, sunshine again, high near 77. Wednesday, same thing. And Thursday, the rains come back, about a 50% chance of rain, thunderstorms maybe on Thursday, a high near 66. Speaking of that number, it's 66 right now in the Twin Cities. Tom Osmond, what do we have?
Well, we were talking a little bit about sports before, and I know that we love our sports. This video, this is Tony Parker. Remember, Tony Parker was the sports anchor at Channel 9 from the early days of TV until the mid-70s right. when they fired him. He worked at Channel
5. Do they fire people?
Yeah, you know.
I didn't know that.
A few times. And he had survived many firings, but he went actually worked in with the Vikings for a long time and also did some sports for Channel 4. This is Vikings Report with Tony Parker from 1979.
Okay.
Viking Report, a weekly update of the Minnesota Vikings' 1979 National Football League campaign. Brought to you by Schmidt Beer, the brew that grew with the great Northwest. Schmidt and football, natural ingredients for fun. By Champion Auto Stores, with 80 stores in the upper Midwest to serve you. By Polaris Snowmobiles, there's a lot more behind us than the competition. Hi, everybody. I'm Tony Parker. Welcome to the second television edition of Viking Report for the 1979 season. Well, good news from last weekend, of course, a 28-22 victory by the Vikings over San Francisco in their opening game. They are undefeated. Except let me point one thing out that my distinguished colleague who's with me every week here, Bob Lertzma, publisher of Viking Report, told us, if you'll recollect, that it would be a piece of cake for the Vikings. That first half was no piece of cake, Chief. What happened?
Hey, what happened? You know, out there lying to all those people, you're saying great win and everything, 28-22. What? They didn't beat the spread. How many of the people that bet on the Vikings lost? 7.5 was the spread. I apologize for that last week.
Let's get back to what you said last week about a piece of cake. What happened in that first half?
Well,
and the second half. San Francisco kept coming back.
Well, the turnovers, everything finally started to gel. They needed the big play. They needed a little bit of enthusiasm. And I think they finally got that when Akma made that tremendous move on Lewis.
All right. Benchwarmer Bob there.
To a younger generation.
He was more focused on gambling, wasn't he there?
Oh, I'm not sure about
the spread?
That is illegal in the state, I believe.
Yeah,
still,
I think
right?
It's illegal. Yeah.
Right. No,
funny
I think,
he should talk about that.
Bob sure made a good living off that
did.
Persona, did he not?
He made a good living off not really cutting having it with the Vikings, and he turned it into kind of a self-styled clown a little bit. He did well.
And he still runs this report, actually. I think he still runs this Vikings report.
He's a smart guy. He knows what he's doing.
He's a good businessman. He pitched a lot of products, and a lot of... You go to tcmedianow.com, you can see...
That would be your website, wouldn't it?
Yeah. It is correct. You can see a lot of Benchmore, Bob.
You're the host of Flashback Twin Cities, too, aren't you?
I think so. I think so. For at least this one more week, right? No, yes, exactly. Yes.
Okay. So, did he put those two words together there in that report from 79? Vikings victory? Is that what he said? George, did you hear that? Is that right?
I heard that.
Okay. Sounds good, doesn't it?
This is the home of the Packers, so are we allowed to actually play Vikings audio on these airwaves? I'm not sure, but we're trying anyway.
Tony Parker was a good guy. Good sportsman. Parker on Sports was the name of his sports show. Yep.
And he just passed away about 4 or 5 years ago, unfortunately. Yeah. Legend in Minnesota broadcasting.
He was. He is indeed. And what else do we have, sir? We're about 9 minutes to go here. So let's do some more sounds.
Okay, let's do one more. This is from, I also, in case anyone's wondering, I actually provided a contribution to bringmethenews.com. I do On This Day occasionally. Mm-hmm. And on this day, September 23rd, 1985, John Flanagan, he was an attorney in St. Paul. Mm-hmm. And, well... Making money as an attorney, from what I understand, is quite good. But apparently, sometimes you have to take more. And John Flanagan took a lot of his clients' money. A lot of clients that were, mentally disabled, physically disabled, and he kept them for himself. Mm-hmm. He ran away to Utah over the summer in '85, and the authorities finally caught up with him. He had kind of changed his appearance a little bit. He was with his law clerk.
Got messy, didn't it?
Hmm? It gets messy, but this is...
They don't teach that in law school, do they?
I've never been to law school, so they might.
Good. All right.
But this is from September 23rd, 1985.
Tonight, St. Paul attorney John Flanagan is back in Minnesota facing charges that he built clients out of nearly $1 million. Flanagan was returned to the Twin Cities 1 week after his arrest in Utah. And as Mike Walsh reports, state and federal authorities may announce tomorrow some more charges against John Flanagan.
Flanagan waived extradition in a Utah court, giving up his right to challenge his arrest by police and customs agents last week in Orem. That's where he lived this summer with a former law clerk. He arrived at Minneapolis-St. Paul Airport shortly before 6, still handcuffed and, unlike last week, making no attempt to hide his face or his red-colored hair and whitish beard. Minutes later, Flanagan was transferred to the custody of Ramsey Sheriff's deputies. He said nothing in response to shouted questions, and he showed no emotion as he boarded a police van for the trip to jail. And while Flanagan was being brought back to Minnesota, a federal grand jury was meeting in Minneapolis. Prosecutors can't say exactly what that jury is considering, but they do say they hope to announce some developments in the Flanagan investigation, probably tomorrow. Federal prosecutors say they're investigating Flanagan for possible violations of tax laws, false identification on a passport and Social Security cards, fraudulent currency transactions, and possible interstate transportation of stolen goods. Tonight, John Flanagan is back in his hometown of St. Paul for the first time since he disappeared in early July. He's being held in the Ramsey County Jail under a $500,000 bail. I'm Mike Walsher, WCCO Television News.
And at that point, wearing a clever disguise of red hair and a white beard.
I think the stealing part and the transportation of goods, I think when the tax issue gets involved, that's when you're stuck. I think the prosecutors can try to, prosecute every single item. That when the tax man gets involved, that's when it's trouble.
Al Capone could tell you about that, too.
That's right.
Mr. Flanagan, did he wind up at the big house, as we call the state pen?
He did. And then also the trivia of this, and I was doing some research on this for my future. Mm-hmm. There was a Flanagan tax, and what it was the Supreme Court of Minnesota had set a fund aside that when you were a new lawyer, when you got your bar, you actually had to pay $100 to this fund that was going to fund lawyers that built their clients out of money or stole from them.
Wow.
So for a good number of years, there was a $100 fee you paid, and it was called the joke was called the Flanagan tax, because our friend John Flanagan, a lot of money that was never repaid.
Kind of a breakage fee up front in case you trash your room or something.
Exactly,
like that.
Exactly.
Okay. My goodness, that's an interesting piece of Minnesota history. That our proudest moment, was it?
That comes straight from Minnesota Bar Association's website.
Well,
so
very good. It's got to be true then, right? Okay.
Well, they are lawyers.
I thought you might have Flanagan on your show today, Tom.
Well, he actually canceled also, so he was the second guest.
They almost canceled him. Right, what else do we have here, Tom?
You know, this wraps for audio, our audio we have, because we have a couple pieces for the 1 o'clock hours.
All right, we want to save that, of course.
We'll save that for next hour.
Okay, so tell me what else is going on in your life here, okay? Your website doing well. Have you found any treasures lately? You mentioned something the other day.
I do, and I always do. And the best part is people are willing to provide some items which they might find junk, and there is treasure to it. So I always tell people, whether it be videos or even their photographs or slides or film, don't think it can't be viewed again. You know, do some checking. You can actually email me at tom@tcmedianow.com. Go to the website, tcmedianow.com. You can do a contact. I'd love to hear if you have some video or some audio you'd like to preserve or like to digitize. And I tell people, I know people that have had family members that have thrown away slides and film or tried to because mm-hmm. they don't think that we have the technology to view it again. We do, and we have a way to preserve it. And there's just so much out there that I think that tells our history. There's, you know, books, we have written word, we have newspapers, mm-hmm. but a lot of the last 30 years, a lot of what's gone on has been through TV and through radio, and I think it's an important way of being able to tell those stories.
And Tom, what about all these outdated video recorders we have that people throw away? Are you in need of any of those? Do you have enough?
I put more hours on a VCR in a week than probably they have in a lifetime. So if you ever have a VCR you need a good home for, again, tom@tcmedianow.com.
You can't pay for them, but if they're going to be thrown away, you'd be happy to take them.
The budget is minimal.
How minimal?
Very minimal. Very minimal. Right. Well, I could go to Dairy Queen with someone. Okay. We could go on a Sunday. Right. Yeah, no, it's very minimal. But I do give credit to people if they have some video material they want on the website. I can put their name on there. Mm-hmm. I can give them the tape back with a DVD copy if they want it. Okay. I had a woman who emailed me recently. She was on Good Company. Remember that show?
Oh, sure.
She had a makeover. She just wanted it on DVD, so I made a DVD for her.
Oh, nice.
The video's on the site, and she has her tape back.
That's wonderful. That's great. What a service you render. What's the greatest find that you've scored? You're looking for audio or video?
Well,
unexpected surprise.
Some of those might not be on the website. No, there's... You know, the magic videotape is, if you play a tape long enough, you find some video that was taped over or some kind of B-roll that maybe was not supposed to be there. I found, you know, the stations used to play these blooper videos, the Christmas party, and I have one from 5 and I have one from 11. It's a great find because it's video never made it on the air, and it might showing a different light of that, you know, that any office might have some jokes and some pranksters or some troublemakers. Mm-hmm. And I've put some edited versions on the website. Yeah. So I have Tom Olson, someone you know, provide me the holiday video from Channel 5.
Oh, boy.
And
I used to dread those nights because I knew I'd be in those blooper rigs.
Well, don't worry, Stan.
I suppose you've got them all.
I know who my friends are, so I need to make sure that I
bleep me out. Will
you? Yeah, you know, there's some
no bribery, please.
Adult language I had to remove.
Not for me. I never did that.
Not you.
Not in the studio. No,
of course not.
No. But, never near a microphone. You never, ever do that. Never.
I've always found it funny when you see these things happen and there's someone, you know, with a microphone right in front of them, they decide to go off the record.
Yeah.
Don't ever tell a journalist, let's go off the record, right?
That's right. That's correct. Especially after you've said it all, right? Too late.
That's correct.
Tom Osmond, thank you so much for sitting in today. I should return the favor. How soon would you like me to do that?
Well, let's see. Can you come back about 1:05 or so?
I'll do it. Thank you, Tom. The name of your show would be Flashback Twin Cities, right?
Stan Turner Show,
George,
right?
How'd I do? Yeah, well, kind of.
Okay, you did well.
It's close enough. All right. Thank you so much, Tom. We'll be with you shortly, dare I say. Thank you, everybody, for listening. Stay around. Tom has more fun stuff for us in the way of vintage audio, and it's really fun to revisit those times. So stay with us. We'll be back right just in a couple of minutes. Bye-bye.